worldwide issues or just your home issue. In fact, I would say most of the people in this community, though they're worried about things in the country and things like that, I would say the biggest thing that occupies our minds and keeps us up at night isn't even the national or international problems. It's probably problems a lot closer to ourselves, our homes. That's probably really the rivers, the troubled waters that we're struggling with. But I'm here to tell you, no matter what you're going through, the God that got you through before will be the God that gets you through now. I promise you that. He will not let you down. He will not let you down. He will not let you drown. But you will get through the troubled waters because he's the bridge. Amen? 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 Hallelujah. How many watched last week online? Dad did an awesome job, and I guess Mom, you know, always does a great job assisting. She's probably the boss of the bunch, but she helps quite a bit as well. But talking about dreams, and I have nothing to add to that, I do want to go do a quote that goes along with what he did last week and kind of transition into what God is speaking to us today. And it's a quote from Martin Luther King. I know Dad spoke about dreams. But this is a later quote that you don't hear very much, and I think it has a lot to do with where we are. It's one thing to dream. It's another thing, as Dad preached last week, to hold on to a dream, to see a dream come to pass. See, everybody has dreams, and we've heard some awesome dreams today. But it's another thing to hold on to a dream and see it come to pass. Amen? Because we have lots of dreams as kids. You know, we want to be NBA stars, or we want to be presidents, or we want to be something, right? We want to be a TV star. We want to be a coal miner. We want to marry Prince Charming or Princess Charming. We want to marry Barbie or Ken or whatever. We have dreams, but a lot of dreams kind of fade away over time. What happens? Well, things get in the way. Life gets in the way, right? I mean, you're going to have dreams, and some of them maybe you'll hold on to, I pray. But some of them you'll let go of because life happens. And then later on, you'll be old like me, and you'll look back and say, whatever happened to that dream? And so I read this quote from Martin Luther King in 1967. It's a later speech than you most of the time hear. A lot of times you hear, I have a dream, the speech. But this is a year before he died, less than a year. Here's what it says. And I must confess, my friends, that the road ahead will not always be smooth. There will be still rocky places of frustrations and meandering points of bewilderment. There will be inevitable setbacks here and there. And there will be these moments when the buoyancy of hope will be transformed into the fatigue of despair. Our dreams will sometimes be shattered and our urethral hopes blasted. We may again, with tear-drenched eyes, have to stand before the bier of some courageous worker whose life will be snuffed out by the dastardly acts of bloodthirsty mobs. But difficult and painful as it is, we must walk on in the days ahead with an audacious faith in the future. We must keep moving forward no matter what's coming against us. You gotta hold on to your dreams, your God dreams, and we gotta keep moving forward. Hallelujah. So Monday was Martin Luther King's day. I'm not going to preach about the dreamer. Dad did that last week and did an awesome job. We know the world kills dreamers and you have to keep dreaming. But I am going to talk just for a minute, then we're going to get into scripture, about a contemporary of Martin Luther King. And it's a man also Dad and I have talked some a little bit about in text. It's about a man named John Lewis. Now, I'm not going to talk about John Lewis, the politician. I don't think politics has any place for this pulpit. The only politician, the only ruler I want to preach from this pulpit is King Jesus. He wasn't elected. He was chosen. He sat by the right hand of the Father. He descended to earth, and he is King of Kings. You don't get a vote. You don't get a choice. And whether you believe in him or not, one day you will bow before him. You will give an account of what you've done on this earth. So I don't care anything about politicians this morning. I'm not going to talk about politicians. I know John Lewis later became a politician. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about Democrat, Republican. I'm not going to talk about bills or what he stood for, what he voted for. But what I do want to talk about for just a minute was 1965. I want to go back to 1965 to a young man named John Lewis. I want to talk about the preacher, John Lewis. I want to talk about the dreamer, John Lewis. And I want to talk about the man that marched and stood for something for people, for human rights. That's what I want to talk about for 1 minute. And we're going to get the scripture, okay? And we're going to tie this all together, okay? So John Lewis was born in 1940 in Troy, Alabama. He just died this year, July 2020, 80 years old. As a young man, he would preach. He grew up preaching to his mama's chickens. Have you heard this? He grew up preaching to chickens. He would go out and preach to his mama's chickens. You did the same thing. Well, let me see if you share. Look at that. He shares. Let me tell you. Let's see if you had this same experience. Then his mama would kill and cook a chicken. And John Lewis refused to eat one of his congregants. He would not eat the chicken because he had preached to that chicken. He had prayed for that chicken. He had helped lay hands on that chicken. He had prayed for healing on that chicken. And he wasn't going to eat that chicken. I promise you, we ain't going to cook and eat none of you all. You all, some of you all be some tough birds, I tell you. Woo! So John Lewis grew up with a conscience wanting to see what he read about in the gospel. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He grew up wanting to see that for all people. And in 1963, he helped organize as a very young man the March on Washington with Martin Luther King Jr., where Martin Luther King Jr. gave the famous I Have a Dream speech. But later in 1965, John Lewis, who was in the South, started being concerned about the fact that, again, I'm not talking politics, just talking facts about history, that at that time period, black people could not register to vote. You see, the government said anybody can vote, but the problem is when they went to the registrar, they refused to sign them up. So they didn't have a vote, right? And so he became very concerned about that. And he also became concerned about the fact there were a lot of people getting killed, not just black people, but anybody that came in to support this movement. And so they organized a march from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery, Alabama. That's 54 miles. And that's what happened. So on March 7th, he and a group of people assembled in Selma, Alabama. And there you see a picture of the Edmund Pettus Bridge that goes across the Alabama River. And so they assembled in Selma with the idea that we're going to march to Montgomery, the state capital of Alabama, to bring about attention in the nation, to bring about attention in the nation of what's going on down here. Because we believe if people see what's going on, that people will have a heart and a conscience, and people will stand up and they'll make a difference. He believed that if people will really see what's going on, that they will stand up for what is right and godly. And so on March 7th, 1965, he and a group of people started in Selma. And the first few feet from Selma, you cross the Alabama River into another county. They get on that bridge, and awaiting for them was a mob, an angry mob, who began just to beat them senselessly. Nobody crossed the bridge that day. They got beat to death. Many went to the hospital. John Lewis suffered a skull fracture because he was on the front line. And he walked up to an officer and he said, "Can I speak to you about this march?" And he got hit in the head and he was hospitalized, and he carried a scar on his head his whole life. They didn't cross the bridge, and they suffered much damage. And when it was over, and you know, and you got to understand, there was no 24/7 news back then. And for me in my life, and for some of you in your life, there was no 24/7 news. If you want to watch the news, you tuned in at 6, and you see what Walter Cronkite had to say. That's what you did. The whole nation would get together and see what was going on. There were just a couple channels, so it wasn't like people had other alternatives. They weren't on the internet. They weren't on the YouTube. They weren't blogging or vlogging or Instagramming or bootygramming or whatever that stuff. They weren't involved with that stuff. They all were interested in the world. They get together at 6 o'clock and watch this thing unfold. And so you have to ask yourself, did John Lewis, did people who were on that march and got beat nearly to death, did they ask themselves after that march, was it worth it? Was it worth it? Because you got to start thinking, what difference does it really make, the cynic would say, if they cross a bridge? What difference does it make if a group of people march to Montgomery? Does that change anything? That don't change a law, right? Well, what does the difference does it make if you cross a bridge? Is it worth getting beat to death to cross a bridge? Is it worth facing the mob? Is it worth facing the fear to cross a bridge? What good does it do to cross a bridge? And I started thinking about spiritually, you know, how so many times God, through the Holy Spirit, challenges us to do things that don't seem relevant to our problem. So in other words, when a pastor says, stand and engage and really give all you have in worship, and I'm facing I can't pay my rent, or I've got these family problems, or I can't get off Lord tabs, or I'm just struggling with pride, or I'm miserable, or I can't get over my past, all these situations. What does that have to do with that? Is it worth going through the pain to risk crossing the bridge? What difference does it make if I cross a bridge? If I stand and shout, will it make a difference? What difference does it make if I come every Wednesday night? How does that solve my problems? I can sit at home and pray to my God. I can turn on the Praise Channel. I can turn on Franklin Graham or whoever. I can do this. I can do that. What difference does it make? Why does it matter? Maybe it don't matter. Maybe it's not worth the cost. I mean, what does it matter if I come on Wednesday nights? What does it matter if I come on Sundays all the time? Does it really matter? Does God really care? Does that really change my situation? Does that really change my problem? But you know, in 1965, the whole nation was watching to see if a group of people crossed the bridge. There may not be a whole nation watching to see if you come on a Wednesday night or I come on a Wednesday night. But there are people watching. There are people watching. There are people watching how you act in school. Do you come to youth? There are people watching. Are you consistent and real in your faith? Do you believe in what you say you believe in? There are people watching. There's people on both sides watching. What do you mean both sides? There's a devil. There's a Satan. And he's here to steal, kill, and destroy you. And I'm telling you, the forces of hell are watching what you're doing. Because if you're not willing to cross the bridge, they're not scared of you, my friend. They know you're going to stay in Selma. And you'll never get anywhere in Selma. They're not scared of you. Because they know one of two things. You're either afraid of the beating you got last time on that bridge, or you're comfortable in Selma. And either way, they're not scared of you. Your dreams are too small to scare the devil. He's here to steal and kill and destroy you. And he don't care whether you're a coward or whether you're content in Selma. But either way, he wins. Because in Selma, that's small dreams. That's your dreams. That's contentment. That's comfort. That's apathy. But oh my goodness, you're selling yourself short of your God dreams. God has a bigger dream than Selma. It's time to cross the bridge. Bridges are important places. It's where we cross from one place to another. We've been talking on Wednesday night about process. But process, the good thing about process, it's always evolving and moving. Once something stops, it's no longer in process. Process is always in movement. If an egg is being fertilized, chicken egg, one of John Lewis's congregants' eggs, then if it's in process, it is developing. Once it stops developing, it's no longer in process. So you're moving when you're in process. It's a movement from the old way to a new way. And to get to that new way, most of the time, you got to go over some troubled waters. Because the enemy ain't going to give it up to you. He don't want you to occupy a position of purpose. He don't want you to occupy a position of joy. He wants to keep you back in Selma, unhappy, unfulfilled, and not changing the world. Takes a dreamer to cross a bridge. Too many times we get up to the edge of the bridge and we remember what the club felt like on our head and we go back. I tried that before. I went to church before. I tried to lay off drugs before. I tried to lay off this before. I tried to do right things before. I tried to save my family before and I took a whooping. It ain't worth that whooping. I'll just stay in Selma. I'll just stay in the wilderness. Easier there. A lot easier. Takes courage to cross the bridge. It takes courage to give up your comfort. Because sometimes the devil will tell you things will never change. Why bother? Things will never change. People will never change. Listen, my friend. We preach a gospel that believes entirely in change. If you don't believe in change, you don't believe in the gospel. Because behold, all things are made new. He is. We teach a gospel. We preach a gospel where a man can be born a second time. Where a man and woman can be changed in an instant. Where lives can change. We can get so cynical. We stop seeing that. We stop believing in that. And we say, yes, Jesus is good, amen, you know, Merry Christmas and Amazing Grace, but really people don't change. The cynicism, the devil uses it. But let me tell you something, we got a letter, and I won't say to whom I have no permission. We got a letter from somebody that wanted to pour into ministry that we'd never even been to ministry. And they said, you know what, here's the deal. I got a family member that you minister to. Been incarcerated in all kinds of mess. And we kind of wrote him off. We kind of wrote him off. You know, we were believers. We believe in Jesus. But we wrote him off because we've been hurt so many times. We've been let down so many times. And when people are close to you and they hurt you, you can believe in change for my family easier than you can believe in change for your family. And so this person said, we've given up on him. But we've seen a difference in what God is doing. And we're so blown away and moved. We just want to thank you and pour into your ministry in a big way. Just because you made us believe in change again. Listen, this is a gospel of change. And don't you believe the devil when he says some things will never change. Don't you believe it. Things change. People change. Lives change. And we're on the move and we're not going to stay where we are. Dreamers dream. People are watching what we do. Kids are watching what we do. The next generation is watching what we do. Our peers are watching what we do. We're sending mixed signals. We talk about loving everybody and people don't come to church because they read our Facebook. They won't come and listen to Jesus because they're turned off by what other junk we're saying. Let's turn all that junk off and let's love people and preach Jesus Christ in this pulpit. In this pulpit. I ain't preaching, man. I ain't preaching political party. You know what? I'm proud to be an American and I'll wave the flag. But when I get to heaven, there will be no America. There will be no USA. There will be no president. There will be no Congress. There will be King Jesus, and all the nations will join and praise him. One bride, and as long as we keep separating the bride, we're not part of the bride. You get that? There's going to be one bride. If we separate the bride, we're not part of the bride. Jesus will say this, depart. I said, what? We've been having church, our family been going to this church for 38 years. We read the only real translation of the Bible. We sing only,
only hymns. We do it the right way. We don't let these infidels in our doors. We keep this body pure. We keep this church pure. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. You don't know my heart. You don't know my heart. You never knew my heart. They said, we cast out devils in your name. He said, depart, you never knew me. If you don't know his heart, you don't know him. Change happens. So people are watching. Kids are watching. Our kids want to dream dreams bigger than what we have to face. We can't parent in a way that makes it acceptable for our kids to struggle with the same stuff we struggle with. I refuse to accept that. I refuse to accept that. Because I believe that we're leading a generation across a bridge that's to come after us if Jesus delays his coming, which I think is a pretty big if right now. But I don't know. But I know this. There's a generation coming and they got fire in their eyes. And I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit that they won't know what it's like to go in a convenience store at 11 o'clock at night and see the hallowed eyes of somebody who's just snorting their life away, injecting their life away because they're miserable and they don't know what to do. I believe that God will reign in this community. Amen. That God will change this community. That drugs will be banished from this community. And the only high we'll be having is on Sunday morning or Monday night or Tuesday night when we lift up our praise to the God of gods. We got to quit preaching impossibilities to our kids and putting them in boxes and saying things will never change. People never get along. Drugs will always be here. Bust the door. Bust the windows open and say, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. And we're crossing the river. Your enemy's watching what you do. He's seen you come to this bridge. He got a little nervous first time. Second time, you were a little more tentative. He felt a little better about it. Now he's give up. He don't worry about you. But you know what? We're going to shock his world. You're going to shock his world. Because when he looks and he says, there comes PJ. There comes Heath. Oh, there comes Pastor Heath. Oh, Lord, he's going to mess. You know he's going to mess up. He always messes. Watch this. What if he don't? So we're not going back. And we're going to cross that river. So I'm going to read a little bit of Joshua 3. I promise there's scripture I have to cover and I get to cover. And it won't. We're not going to be here a long time. But I do want to read out of Joshua 3. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Caleb. I want to talk about Joshua 3. And I just want to say this. You know, Joshua, let me just set the setting. In Joshua 3, the children of it. God bless Corey right now, wherever he is, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I mean that. He's a good guy. He just came to my remembrance. He's an awesome guy. Corey, if you're listening out there, we love you, bro. We love you. And he'll know what I'm laughing about. The children of Israel were back to the edge of the river. I said back. Because they'd been there before. And they got their tails handed to them before. So the first time they went to the river, they were led by the great Moses, the great Redeemer, the great Deliverer, the hero of the Old Testament, one of the three with Jesus, the other two making a trilogy, with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the great Deliverer, Moses. They were at the edge of the river. Two wanted to fight, Joshua and Caleb. The rest wouldn't fight. And they spread such gossip and discord. Man, they did it without internet. They didn't have to text or post anything. They just did it, man. They just talked. They just were evil in person. Wow. That's old-timey stuff. They had to be evil in person. They couldn't even send off stuff.
good grief, how barbaric. Oh, man. So, anyway, they created such discord and fear that the people revolted against Moses. They were afraid to fight. They knew there was promise. They knew there was more waiting for them on the other side of the bridge. They knew it was a better life. But they were scared of the what if I take a beating. What if I take a beating? What if you don't, right? They were scared. And so they ran. And God said, this generation is not a fighter. I can't trust these people to go across the bridge. So we're going to let them circle the same mountain about 40 years till they all die. You see, some of us in this room, we wonder, God, why do I keep circling the same mountain? It's because we're not crossing the bridge. We're not moving to a different location. We want God to come bless us in Selma. And God says, walk across the bridge I built for you into your promised land. It's going to take some guts, but you got to walk a little bit. You can't sit where you are and expect God just to drop everything. Why don't God just make Selma right? He made you a bridge. He became the bridge. The robe was painted in blood on his body so you could cross the water. So you could cross the troubled water. God, why don't you just steal the water? I got a different plan. I'm going to hang here. I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer for you. I'm going to defeat death, hell, and the grave. And I won't calm that water, but you'll walk over top of that water if you walk by the way of my cross. If you walk by the way of the cross. We want calmness. We want peace. We want an easy life. God says, I'm looking for people who will cross a bridge, who will look a billy club in the eye and say, my God's got this. And devil, you're a bully, and you've turned me around time and time again. But today we walk. Today we walk. Today we go forward. So Joshua then wanders in the wilderness 40 years. A whole new generation had to be raised, and they're back now on the edge of the Jordan. Don't you think Joshua was a little concerned? I mean, he was willing to fight the first time. Caleb was willing to fight, but everybody else was scared. So do you think part of his mind when he was wondering, will we get up to the edge of the river again, and they're going to cower down on me again? And because of their mistakes, I'm going to die circling that mountain. Because they weren't willing to back me up. I've spent 40 years circling a mountain because they wouldn't fight with me. And here we're back. Will they believe this time? I couldn't lead them last time. How can I lead them this time? The great Moses, the giver of the law, Moses, Charlton Heston Moses, part the Red Sea Moses. He couldn't lead these people across a bridge. How can Joshua I do it? How can I do it? How can I make it? You think he had doubts that maybe we're going to get right up here again and it's just going to be Groundhog Day, deja vu all over again. Back to the mountain. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he had enough faith. Maybe God was just so full in him that he didn't worry about that. But he was a man. And I don't know. I probably would have a little bit. Like I worry about you guys. It's not that I don't trust you. It's I love you. It's like I worry about my kids. We worry about the kids. It's not we don't trust them. We love them. And if you don't worry about somebody, you probably don't love them. Now, it's great to have perfect, I know, perfect. Love has no fear in love. And not, yeah, I know. But let's get real. You worry about people you love. We pray to get us through it, but there's the flesh. We don't let the flesh control us, but there's the flesh. So Joshua's here in that same spot on the edge of the bridge where they got beat down last time. And they got to decide what they're going to do. I'm going to read Joshua 3. I'm going to read this scripture, and then we'll tie some stuff together maybe. It says this, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left the acacia grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, Move out. Move out. Move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, we're in a place we've never been before. Pastor, Father, you've never been here before. How can I be here when he's not been here? You've not been in this place before. You might have been in this geographic location, but you've not been in this place before. So he says, since you've never been this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark, and make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, listen to this, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Tomorrow. What if we get beat down on every? No, tomorrow the Lord will do great works among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the ark of the covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites, all the Israelites. You want to lead your family? Cross the river. Stop staying in Selma and cross that river. Then you will be a leader in your family. Then you will be a leader in your community. Then you'll be a leader in your church. I want a position. Cross the river and then you will be a leader. Everybody wants them to come, just God to come down and give them a star. Here, you get to be president or something. You get to be over something. Oh, man, here's your promotion. Here's your ball cap. Anyhow, it works. You know, leaders don't have to call themselves a leader. People look at them as leaders. If I had to tell you I'm a leader, I ain't a leader. If I had to tell you I'm a pastor, I ain't a pastor. If I have to tell you I'm this or that, I ain't this or that. You don't have to, a coach don't have to promote a player as a captain on a team. The players know it before the coach ever puts a star on his helmet. You got to cross the river. You got to show something. Everybody wants to be a bodybuilder. Ain't nobody want to lift no weight. I got to get through this. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the riverbanks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. Today you will know. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth. As soon as the feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand like a wall. God made a bridge where there was no bridge. Some of you see your life and you say there's no way across this troubled water. The water's too great. The current's too great. The storm's too great. The danger's too great. I don't see a bridge, God. You walk up to the edge of the river. You lead your people. And God will make a bridge where there is no bridge. And you will cross the river. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing at its banks. That's troubled waters. Listen, if you've seen the flood, if you've seen Guest River flooded, I wouldn't get in that and swim. I wouldn't get in Guest River anyway and swim, but that's another point. If you've seen when the floodwaters come and that water just rushing, Boo's not a water guy. When you see a mighty swelled, flooded river, that's so much current, you don't got a chance. I don't care if you're Greg Louganis or Mark Spitz or what's that guy that, the big tall lanky guy that does Subway commercials? Phelps, yeah, yeah. See, I'm old school. I go with Mark Spitz. They couldn't swim in that river. That was a troubled water. That was a difficult situation. But God said, you go there ready to cross, and I'll make a bridge. You just got to cross. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water, the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the Lord and the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Listen to this part. Then all the people, say all. Are you an all? Just people that believe like I do? Huh? Everybody? Just people who vote like I vote? No. You mean everybody gets to come? They all get to go to heaven, or just the ones that like what I like? Well, what if they're not? What if they disagree with me on stuff like that? Huh? What if they're a girl? What if that was a big deal in the old days? What if they're a different color than me? Huh? Everybody can cross the bridge. Well, but that's not what I'm seeing on Facebook. Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm sorry. Let me go back. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed on by. You say, what if I run into an angry mob on that bridge? The presence of God will be standing in the middle of that bridge. You will pass by. You will make it through. You might have to have some guts about you. You might have to have some courage about you. But it's not your good looks. It's not your intelligence. It's not your birthright. It's not your country. It's not who you voted for. It's not your beliefs. It's not your muscles that'll get you through. But it's the presence of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, that will get you across that bridge. Gosh, I ain't talking about you all, because I know you all don't do that kind of stuff. But I hear from pastors all over say nobody comes to church anymore. I'm not going to say nothing. They waited there, I'm talking about the priests, till the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. They finally crossed that bridge. They got by the troubled water that had haunted them and killed a generation and discouraged them. But you know what's interesting about this? Do you realize that they were just starting to fight? See, that's the other problem. Sometimes people think that when they cross the bridge, purpose, yes, there's going to be purpose. There's going to be joy. There's going to be passion. There's going to be exciting things. But there's giants left to fight. They hadn't even got to Jericho. They hadn't even got to the hill. Caleb hadn't even got to his hill country. None of this had happened. They hadn't conquered a single person except their own fear. But once you conquer your own fear, no giant will have a chance against you. Do you get that? The biggest giant we ever have to conquer is the man or woman looking back to you in the mirror in the morning when you get ready. If you conquer that fool, you'll conquer every giant. Right? That's what I tell myself. The ugliest giant I ever see is when I'm shaving every morning. You conquer that fear inside you, and God will give you your victory. I promise you.
Ain't no giant going to take you down. Gerald, it's about and thank God for Gerald. It's about conquering that fear that you got to call it out, but you got to conquer it. You got to do it scared sometimes, Gerald. You can't wait for God to take the fear away. You got to do it scared. So Joshua and his people entered a land of promise. They finally crossed the bridge and they left their wilderness. There were many battles left to fight. I promise you this. When we cross that bridge into the next episode, there will be more battles to fight. But we will be equipped and we will remember that the God that took us across that bridge will take us through that giant. Amen. And we're going to do it together. You're going to cross that bridge. You're going to cross that bridge. It's time to put all this stuff behind us. I know we've all messed up. I know we've all made mistakes in the past year. Maybe we've done stuff we shouldn't have done. Maybe you've posted stuff you shouldn't post. But I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to say, let's get up together and let's cross that bridge together. Together. And I commit, what would happen this year if we all committed not to post or talk about any more bad stuff or divisive stuff, but all Jesus 24/7. Whoa, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Scripture, scripture, scripture. Oh. I was telling Dad, we were talking about how, forgive my heart, Lord, there was a time I took for granted that every Sunday this altar was packed with people, Christians, non-Christians, new converts, maybe some of them come 38 straight weeks, but God bless them. The Holy Spirit was drawing and he was doing something in the process. I can't judge that. But now we're in an era where people were afraid to go to the bridge. People have run back to Selma and said, what's the point? I'm tired of getting beat. I'm tired of billy clubs. Safer in Selma. But we are leaving Selma. We're leaving the wilderness. And you're going to shock some people. There's a generation watching. You're going to motivate them. You got kids that aren't even about Christ that are acting like kids do into everything else. Boys, girls, oh yeah. Everything's great till the next one comes along. And then they're broke up and crying. That's life. You've been there too. We make fun of our kids, but we did the same stupid stuff. And they're smarter than we are probably. Don't mean we want to repeat what we did. But there's kids watching. There's workers watching. We've got to get back. We've been yelling for people to come back to church. The Holy Spirit will draw them. Keep talking to them. But here's what's the deal. Why don't we go invite some new people? Because the scripture said in the wedding feast, there were some that wouldn't come. And so Jesus said, well, go find the prostitutes and the drug addicts and go find all the rest. Go find the ones that weren't invited. They weren't on the VIP list. But daggone it, they'll cross a bridge. They'll face a billy club. They'll walk across a bridge. Maybe the VIPs like Selma too much. We ain't staying at Selma. So we're finishing. I recognize your time and evaluate. So whatever happened to that John Lewis guy besides the later stuff? Well, he did do that. But whatever happened to him in that Selma, that bridge, that march? Do you know he went back 2 days later and they got turned away again? 2 days after getting beat to death, they show back up. If prison tells you you're a felon and you can't get in, sometimes you keep showing up and you keep showing up till they get tired of you and they say, come on in and preach salvation. This better be on a flash drive, boys and girls. We got to get this thing back in Mountain City. So go back on March 9th. They get to the Edmund Pettus Bridge and the Alabama River and they get turned back one more time. So then they go back and they say, we're going to work on this thing. And meanwhile, that night,
a pastor from the north who'd come. You know, a lot of people don't know this or don't think about it if you haven't studied it. There were a lot of pastors who participated from all over the country. They saw the injustice, they saw the hate, and they saw that God was about all people. And so pastors from all over the country showed up, all colors of pastors, all congregations of pastors. And this one that was a white fella from somewhere up north, and he got killed the night of March 9th. But they didn't go home. They didn't go back to Selma. They said, we're going to regroup, and we're going to come back stronger. So on March 21st, 1965, they show up a third time. But see, what had happened, all these times on the 6 o'clock news and Walter Cronkite and all this stuff, the nation started watching, and they started getting convicted. I believe by God that people should be beat to death for just walking down the road. And so this time when they show up, Uncle Sam showed up. And they stood there on that bridge. And those people walked across the Alabama River. That was just the start. They walked 54 miles in 4 days to Montgomery, Alabama, the capital of Alabama. And you know how many showed up with them? You know how many walked that walk 54 miles? To face danger. You know, we say, today I would probably say pastors who would come with us, visiting pastors, would probably say, pastors, this is a pretty good crowd for COVID. Those guys faced death. And you know how many showed up? I know when people get sick, and I know this is, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying sometimes you can't, sometimes it's better to face death than to live in fear. Fear is the worst prison you could ever live in. Fear will rob you of your destiny. Fear will rob you of your purpose. Fear will rob you of your passion. And I would say if you looked at that, you know, if you looked at about 100 people, you'd say, well, that's pretty good to have 100 people show up and walk 54 miles facing getting beat to death when what does walking do? But no, 100 people didn't go. 25,000. Walked across that bridge and showed up. That's capital. 5 months later, you say, well, what does walking a bridge matter? Believe me, people pay attention to the bridges you cross and the land you occupy. The devil knows whether you're in Selma or Montgomery. The devil knows where you what land you occupy. He knows very well, and so do your children. They know, is mommy and daddy preaching me not to be scared of that bully in school when they won't even take me to church? I'm just saying, I don't know. Mom and daddy said put Jesus first, but they go to Food City 6 times a week and they never go to church. But they tell me to put Jesus first and I'll always be happy. The generation is watching what we do at this bridge. 5 months later, and I know you guys, some of you love me, and some of you tolerate me, and some of you think I'm meddling and being mean. But I love you too much. I love you too much, Sal. I love you all too much. I'd rather you be mad at me and walk across that bridge just in spite of me and move into your purpose and passion than to be content to stay in Selma and me patty cake you on the head and say, it's okay, sweetie. Jesus loves you in Selma. Jesus has called you to cross the bridge and go into your destiny. And I love you too much not to kick you in the tail if I need to. Because you know why, Sal? Sal doesn't say a whole lot with his mouth. He says more with his music. So I'm gonna read what he said from Matthew 6. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life, but seek first the kingdom of his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He carries that around. But understand, the man who pats you on the head and gives you the feel-good messages but never encourages you to change, don't love you. He just wants you to like him.
He just wants you to like him. He just wants you to give to his ministry. I'm not, oh Lordy. And there's a time we need to encourage each other, but there's a time we need to encourage each other to get across the river and let's move. And we are in a time of troubled water, and we ain't staying where we are. We're not staying here scared to death. We're not staying here with people shooting up on our streets. We're not staying here in this land. We're moving ahead across the river. Five months later, you say, what difference does walking make? 5 months later, the country passed what was called the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And it said you could no longer block somebody from registering. Some men walked across a bridge three times and took some beatings and kept going and kept going and kept going. And the world changed. Now, I'm not here to talk to you about voting rights. I'm here to talk to you about spiritual matters. But I want you to understand this applies spiritually as well. That God pays attention to what we do. The devil pays attention to what we do. And he's not going to put you in, he's not going to bless you at the point of his purpose for you if you're not occupying the land he has purposed you to be in. You have to change your, we have to move and change our position to occupy the space where God can use us according to his calling. John Lewis might have been a good boy preaching to chickens. He probably wasn't sinning. He probably wasn't looking at dirty words or something. But he wasn't changing nobody's life preaching to chicken. He had to get up and walk across some bridges and take a few beatings before he could make a difference in people's lives. We're not going to change the world preaching to chickens in Selma. We got to get up and move across that river. And I believe with all my heart that there's a remnant in this room that'll be about that. I believe that. Dreamers watch. Kids dream new dreams because they saw people like them on TV being heroes. Kids dream to be doctors and lawyers and whatever else, preachers, teachers, because of what they saw. See, you can't dream what you don't realize is possible. And we do as kids, but there's a point in our life where we put away dreams because we think they're impossible. With God, all things are possible. But you got to understand this. We've got to show a generation it's possible. That's why you think it's just, and we're coming to a close. Do you think this is just why it's an accident that ex-addicts come here? You know why? Because there's people out there that can't even think they can dream of being an ex-addict. They're so deep in addiction, they don't think that's a dream that's possible. But when you stand up and say, check my arms, baby, no marks, check my arms, you give hope to another generation to dream a dream they think is impossible. All the things that you've been tested, all the blows from billy clubs, by you getting up and going forward, you're teaching a new generation who doesn't believe it's possible, that it is possible, that God can deliver them out of that situation because he delivered you out of that situation. I imagine there was a group of people that later on years, probably now still, as they drive across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, they look back and think, I'm crossing this bridge because there are some people that went before me. But spiritually, you got to get this. God is moving in this nation. He's moving in this world. And we're going places. And there's going to be a generation in the future. And I don't think it's a faraway generation. I think it's a now generation. I think we're equipping a now generation. They're going to walk or drive across that bridge. And they're going to say, we're crossing this bridge because some old people nobody wanted, knuckleheads, been beat down too many times, but we're too stubborn to quit going. Went across that bridge. So my question is this. Are you really willing to occupy new land? I'm not talking about for race or for country. I think those are great things. But I'm talking about for God. For your purpose in life. Spiritually. Are you really ready to occupy a new land? Are you willing to let go of that back there? Are you willing to let go of Selma? Are you willing to let go of your hurt? What do you mean? You're carrying it around, and Jesus bore it on a cross. I'm carrying it around. Am I really willing to let go? Or do I like it too? Is it a comfort blanket to me? You can't occupy the other side of the river if you're not letting go of Selma. And Selma is a place of mind. It may resonate in our physical, what we do. I mean, I believe that some people look the opposite. Free a man's body and you'll free his soul. I think you free a man's soul and his body will follow. It's nice when they work together. But we cannot occupy that land if Selma is on our mind. If you're comfortable in Selma, you'll stay in Selma. And if you're scared of that bridge, the what if I can't make it? What if I fail and everybody looks at me and laughs at me and says, you got up on that stage and you gave that testimony, ha ha, about how you were free from drugs. And now look at you laying up drunk, taking pills, ha ha. That's the devil who's in your ears. You say, I'm going back to the bridge and I'm crossing that bridge. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to love you enough to say, come on, brother. Come on, sister. We're going across the bridge. This train is pulling out. Woo, woo. Let's go. I believe people are going to shock the world because we're in a place we've never been before. And today, God's ready to do amazing things in our midst. We will overcome. We do win. We got to keep dreaming. We got to keep hoping. But we got to keep moving. And I don't care if you're an addict or you just are a highfalutin religious person. We need to move across that bridge and occupy a better place because they're all of the devil and they all control. It's time for us to get free and to be in one body and one spirit with God. And let's move as a group. Let's move together. Let's stop division. Let's stop divisiveness. Let's get together. Let's stop gossip. You're a punk if you gossip. You're a little girl. Stop gossiping and start loving. Start loving. I'm sorry. Start loving. I was about to go prison on some of y'all there for a minute. I miss you guys in Mountain City. You're my heart, you're my prayers, and you're going across that river with its tomb. So thank you for being patient with me. Destiny's waiting, and dreams are waiting, and God's dreams are waiting. And you want to talk about, like last week and on Wednesday night, about maintaining your God dreams, not losing your dreams. It's about keeping the process moving and crossing rivers and crossing bridges. God loves you. He loves you too much to stay where you are. My prayer would be nobody in this building or nobody in this community, if I could, would stay in Selma and die in Selma. Because freedom's out there. And purpose is out there. And I'm excited. And I can say this with all my clear conscience. And I know Dad would definitely say the same thing. Some of you believe him, don't believe me. It's okay. He's got the cool fatherly gig going on. I know that. But here's the deal. He's more radical than me. You guys just don't. You just accept it better because it's a different package. He's way more radical than me. You believe me? And he's tougher than me too. He just raps it nice. I've not learned how to rap it nice yet. I could say an analogy, but I'm not going to do it. I know I'd get him scolded if I did that. Mom's not here, so Val's got to keep me in line. Here's what I would say to you today. Anybody listening to my voice, nobody here has any ill will towards anybody. I don't hold anybody's past against you. I don't hold yesterday against you because God don't hold it against me. And because God don't hold it against me, I'm not going to hold it against you because I want to be judged like I judge you because that's what the Bible says is going to happen. And if I give you grace, I'll get grace. But if I'm hard on you, I may not make it in. I'll say this as we finish. That's a great promise. That's like to say this. How many of y'all got an old jalopy?
I used to have an old Wagoneer. It wasn't worth $1,000. Had a Dodge Neon one time. Boy, that thing I could pick up and carry almost. I traveled all over the country going to court in a Dodge Neon. Even had a roll-up window still in it. Right? What if God made a deal with you? He says, you sell that old jalopy, and whatever price you sell that for, you can walk into the Ferrari dealership. You get that new Ferrari for the same price. Do you know that's the gospel? When Jesus says, how you judge others is how you'll be judged. So if I charge you $10,000 for my Dodge Neon, I ain't getting a deal on that Ferrari. I don't know about you, but I don't want to face God in heaven, the judgment God, who we will all face, saved or not faced. There are two different types of judgment, as you know. I don't want to face God and say, him look at me and say, how did you judge them? I'm going to judge them the same way. And when you talked about them, you know, Jesus said hate. When you talk bad about people, that's hate. You're killing them with words. He said same as killing them. So when you talk bad about people and gossip about people, what if God gave you that same treatment, that same hate in heaven? What if? Well, that's the Bible. I don't know. Maybe the Bible's not right. You know it's right. So I don't judge anybody out there. Nobody in this room, nobody out there, nobody in prison, nobody anywhere. I'm just inviting you to get onto this crazy train. Let's cross this bridge together and let's get into the new land and actually occupy it so our future generation isn't going to know what it's like to walk in those stores and see those drugged out eyes. It ought to be a deviation of the norm to see somebody drugged out, not a norm. So let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it together. 25,000 strong. Let's be like Forrest Gump. Let's be running across that river. I was running, and you look back, and there's all these people. They didn't know why that old boy was running, but he was running, so they said, let's go. Be like Clyde. They don't have to have it all figured out. I just want what they got. I don't know where they're going. Like Will. Like Will on the first Sunday at Lost Creek. He was leading the way in a truck. They said, where are you going? I don't have a clue. But wherever they're going, I'm going with them. Because that's what I got to do. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads real quick. I've been not too lengthy. About an hour. I guess that's about like CSI, if you can handle CSI. I didn't even give you any commercials. I ain't as pretty as LL Cool J, though. I guess he's on that show. I don't know. I got a question for you. How many are content? You're really happy with exactly where you are. And you don't want to go forward anymore in your life. There's no more. You've arrived at the pinnacle. You've been to the mountaintop, and there's no more where to go. No more room in your life for improvement. You love where you are. You love it. It's just, you're perfect. You don't have any more anything else waiting for you. Jesus, just take you home right now. Zap, boom, I'm done. Is there anybody in the room that feels that way? That you've arrived? You got it all figured out. You know so much. Us in our little town. We know so much. Or is there anybody in this room that says, you know what? I still need to be on the move. I still got rivers to cross. I still got to lead my family across some troubled waters. Jesus was a bridge. He's a bridge maker. He's a way maker. I like that song because if anybody needed a way made, it's me. If anybody needed a way made, it's me. Because sometimes you look around, there ain't no way. But he made a way. He made a bridge. He paved a path. So you don't gotta stay in Selma no more. You don't gotta circle the same mountain for the rest of your existence. But you can cross into a new place. And if there's anybody in this room that says, I want more, and I want to cross from this place to the next episode, to a place of purpose, more joy,
more passion, more purpose. I tell you, I do, because I want to see these altars full again. I want to see lost people being invited. I've been inviting people this week, but I need help. You need to get back on the phone, and you need to get back on the Facebook, and you need to get back in person and say, please come with me to church. 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 Because there's a generation that's dying and they don't know Jesus. And can we win them in the streets? Absolutely, and so should we. But they need to occupy a land, and they need to be equipped to occupy a land. And it's not sometimes enough just to have a salvation moment, but you have to know what to do with it. You got to occupy the land. I need you and me, all of us together, to get people back in the house, to change our community, to cross the bridge, to raise up courageous children, brave children, tired of victims. Oh, poor me, poor me, poor me, look at me. We need to be brave at this time. We're facing trouble waters. It's a time where God's figuring out who will fight, who will cross the bridge, who will occupy the land, who will face their fear, and who will kill their giants. So all those out there on internet land and those in Mountain City and those of you here, if that's you and you want to cross that bridge into a better place, just raise your hand. We're going to pray. We're done. I quit preaching. I quit preaching. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray. There's a time to preach and a time to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Nobody's looking. I want you to promise me nobody's looking. Because I believe the Holy Spirit's inviting somebody to get in a relationship with Him, to get back to following Him. Nobody's looking. If you want to get back in relationship with Him right now, I want you to put up two hands. I want to see two hands. I want to see two hands. I see you. I see you. You say, I'm not following Him, and I want to get back in the game. I want to cross that bridge. I've went back to Selma. I didn't want to go back to Selma, but I'm scared, or I was comfortable, or whatever. But today, God, the Holy Spirit is calling me to cross a bridge. I see your hands, and I want you to pray with me this salvation prayer. I want you to say this, and everybody say it along, because we don't want people to feel bad. We can all use an extra salvation prayer. It might be practice for when you lead somebody to the altar at a Hillbilly Chicken or a Walmart or on here next Sunday morning when you invite somebody. So those that raise two hands, I want you to say this, and everybody say it with them, so we don't want to make anybody feel bad right now. Dear Jesus, I've messed up. I'm not in the place I should be. There's a river in front of me. Troubled water. But I know your cross made a way. I know when you died for me, it was enough to cover my sins. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I'm going to cross that bridge. Scared or not, I'm trusting in you, Lord. I want to make you my king. And if I mess up, I'll fess up and get up. But I ain't going back. Dear Jesus, thank you today for saving me. Amen. Give him praise. There's people. Now, here's the deal. There's an uncomfortable part of the gospel. We're going to pray one more prayer. There's an uncomfortable part of the gospel that says you have to acknowledge that if you're ashamed to acknowledge Jesus here, he's going to be ashamed of you. And, you know, that's another one of those deals in the Bible that is just in there. So I'm not asking you to say anything, but if Jesus did that to you today, just to give him credit, I want to ask you to have the courage just to stand up. Everybody's going to clap for you. That's it. Stand up if you did that today. Yes. If you did that today. Yeah.